This conference is being recorded.
There we go. So, I guess everyone probably knows that Chris is out today. He is at the Red Island Repository Institute giving various lectures that hopefully we will get to hear some of, since they're supposed to be doing some recordings and such. So, I think that'll be potentially a very good addition to the documentation for Fedora. But he asked me to host today, so I'll just be walking through the agenda. But I assume everyone has the agenda up. And so the first thing, looks like, Kai, you were able to do a check-in with some updates for Group 0496. And I just wanted to get an update on that from you and figure out where that's headed.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. So I removed the Circes from the code base, and I hope I got all dependencies. Besides that, this is a part of the fix. So besides that, there are other issues that are still there. So and additionally, I found a new one. That's because I haven't tested the whole functionality of the repository of Fedora previously. And I've done that now, and I've caught a new class loader leak. And that's connected to commons logging. And that's what I'm currently up to. So the patch, the today's change set, removes Circes, but it's not the complete thing yet.
Okay, so you're continuing down the path to try to figure out where all of the other leaks are.
Yeah, I think I got most of them. I know that one is left, the Apache Commons logging one.
And I guess you guys.
Once I've traced this one down, I'm pretty confident that that's it then.
So I guess you guys talked last week about there also being an issue in Taxis. Has that been resolved, or is that to be resolved in a different tracker item?
I think we agreed that resolving the access leak would be, or we don't do that now, because we have to basically retrofit the patch from access 1.4, make it fit for 1.3, and then we would have to supply our own access. So I guess the consensus was to access and use another library for it. I guess CXF or Access 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fairly big undertaking. I mean, we looked at updating the access libraries a while back. I think, it hasn't happened for a number of reasons, but I didn't hear last week's discussion about it, but if the problem's serious enough, rolling a patch may be the only sort of viable short-term solution. If you can do that without having to touch much else, because upgrading to CXF or Access 2, it's not just a fair-sized code change, but it's going to change. Probably going to end up changing all the WSDLs. So,
It seems like Access 2 is a very different model than Access 1, right?
Yeah, and I don't know that Access 2 was even the right. Last time I looked at it, I think I'd have to look up my notes for why, but it seemed like CXF was going to be a more suitable fit. But then at this point, it's worth also looking to see what else is on the landscape too, if we're going to, you know, be serious about moving away from Axis anyway, Axis One, like Spring Web Services or something too. Which, so I mean, what was the problem exactly with patching Axis One? I mean, it, Kai, you were saying it involved kind of rolling our own to backport 1.4 patches or something, but is that a fairly big deal?
So the patch isn't a big deal. It's just there's a link on this on the site that's pointing to the respective bug tracker from Axis, and it's not a big patch, so it's just a static cache having its own thread local, and that's preventing the garbage collection. I guess the disadvantage would be that we would have to provide our own access then. But if it's a major refactoring effort, then maybe it's that would be a better short-term alternative. I guess the conclusion, last week's conclusion was that Axis 1.3 has to be removed anyway, sooner or later. So it maybe would be the better alternative to remove it and without patching it first.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in favor of not wasting cycles on something that we want to dump anyway. It's just, I don't know how long it's going to take for us to actually get around to it. So it was just, if the, let's see, hold on. Sorry, I'm just trying to find the Jira report here. If the problem is significant enough and the solution is easy enough as far as patching, maybe people will be happier just doing that in the meantime. But if people aren't really being terribly affected by, like, I mean, it sounds like it's a problem mostly manifesting for people as far as being the restart or shutdown cycle. I mean,
yeah, Graham brought it up originally as
right.
if you shut down and restart within the container a bunch of times, then you end up with out of memory errors.
Right. So if that's the only manifestation, and we're as a group okay with that for the time being, and I'm just saying, well, it'll be resolved when we update the Axis library, then that's cool. Otherwise, I mean, unless someone else is volunteering to do it.
Yeah,
like if Graham wants to deal with this like now, then I would say I don't see why we should object to a patched Axis 1.3. On the other hand, you know, if we say that, you know, it'll be fixed by updating the libraries and we plan to do it, but on the other hand we have no fixed plan for doing it, you know, that's not great either as far as setting up expectations.
So Kai, to what extent would you say the Axis issue, yeah, the leaks in Axis are causing a problem with regard to the class loader not releasing?
Well, the Axis is one part of the problem. So there are several classes that prevent the class loader from being garbage collected, and the Axis is just one of them. It's keeping a reference alive that makes it impossible for the garbage collector to collect the class loader. So it has to be, in order to fix the issue, it has to be patched anyway. But it isn't the only problem. Only when all of these problems I outlined are fixed, then the redeployment will be will not cause any further memory leaks.
So it's an all or nothing kind of situation.
Yeah. Right.
So, Kai, are you willing to look into a patch for 1.3 in order to keep away from the potential large amount of work to move away from 1.3?
Yeah, sure. I've already done a patch. I have to verify if it doesn't... has any side effects. It was just a quick fix in order to see, to prove if that removes the access problem. But sure.
Okay. Yeah, so it sounds like the plan is to go ahead with that patch and look into the SE repo 452 moving away from access 1.3 at a later date.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you going to comment that, Bill, on the?
Yeah, I'm doing it at the moment.
Okay, great.
I'm chatting it to the chat for the moment, and get back to that tracker item later. Okay. So, the next item. Do we have Steve on the call?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah.
Good. So, wanting to just get a little bit of closure on the Rails int item.
Sure.
It seems like Chris put up for a vote last week of including Rails int, and so far we have 5 positive votes and no negatives. So, and 4 of those are binding votes. So that's enough to get us to a consensus. So I'm going to just voice the opinion that we should go ahead and just make the call here that this is the voting is complete, and we should go ahead and roll the Rails int into trunk.
Yep.
Okay, great. So Steve, whenever you're...
About some code review on that, or are we... okay, I know the code review is not going to be by everyone, but as long as everyone's happy, then that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I know I looked at it, and Andrew looked at it, and Chris looked at it, so, I mean, it seems like that's plenty as far as code review goes. So,
okay.
Yeah, just whenever you're... have time, feel free to merge that into the trunk.
Sure thing, I will do, yeah.
Cool. Alright. So, next item is just looking at where we are with Maven and trying to figure out how we get to move forward. So, Andrew, could you give us just sort of the lay of the land at the moment with regard to Maven?
Okay. So it's attached to the Jira tracker item 394, which is, yeah, it seemed like, yeah, we'll close 394 when all of Maven work gets done. And so currently the way it stands is the build process has it now it supports both Maven and Ant. And there are a handful of things that need to happen to tie up that effort. And those are listed on the wiki page, which I'll send to the chat here. But I think the most time intensive one of those things that still needs to take place is currently all of the project dependencies are in the parent, the root POM file. And so we need to go through and sort of surgically push those down into their proper child POM files. So that's probably the one that will take most of the time. But then additionally, there's just some cleanup that needs to happen, like for the unit test and the integration test. There's a naming convention right now, but it seems like it'd be nice to leverage Maven's regular expressions for running certain tests at certain phases. So if we could sort of go through and rename those classes, and then there are a handful of other things that need to be done. There's a little bit more effort that needs to take place to actually then wean ourselves completely off of Ant. And I'm not sure if anyone is interested in either just taking it on or working with me to do it. I think the issue for me is in the short term, I can't sink much time into it.
This is Dan. I'm certainly very happy to help on this task.
Great. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be able to help on this as well. It's just a matter of carving out some time to look at this. So I don't know if I can see if I can set aside at least an afternoon this week to work on some of the dependency stuff. So either way, I'll maybe Dan, if you're also going to do some of this, and I don't know if anyone else has actually made any headway on this yet. So no other takers at this point. All right.
I mean, I put some time into this a couple weeks ago, but I don't have any time in the short term to spend on it either. So.
Okay.
And I guess I would just suggest that we sort of coordinate whoever contributes, just kind of coordinate through the Google group that we have there, just so we don't end up duplicating work.
Okay.
It also seems like really, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there in the community that are quite familiar with Maven and would be interested in chipping in, I would think. And then maybe we would just sort of work with, pushing any sort of contributions through the pipeline.
Yeah, I guess, we could put it up there on the list. I mean, my guess is, even if it's not really so much the audience of people who are familiar with Maven, because even if they're familiar with it, doesn't mean they want to suck the time in us, going through our transit dependencies and so on. But someone who's already maybe trying to integrate Fedora into their Maven project that we don't know about might be sufficiently motivated or already done some of the work. And then Yeah, maybe we can take advantage of some of that. I'm guessing we're not going to just get people out of goodwill. I think they're trying to track them down all the dependencies in the right places.
So, Andrew, could you maybe send out a notice to the developer list and just see if anyone has already done some of this work?
Sure.
Yeah, I agree. If someone has already done some of this tracking down, then we should take advantage of that.
The other, only other avenue I can think of too would be, I don't know, well, Chris might have known about this, but because they're not on the list, you know, like the Topaz people, I mean, the former Topaz team, they did do some of this work. They're Maven shop, or whatever they were, they are, whatever Maven shop. So I remember looking through their track system and their subversion repository at one time. So they did do some of the work. I just don't know how much of it translates directly to what we've got. But at one point, at least, they did sort out the dependencies for at least their project as far as integrating Fedora. But whether it fits in sort of our module and sub-module architecture, of, you know, I don't know how translatable it is. But who would be the right person to sing there? I can't remember their names. Okay, if I think of it, maybe I'll send off that email to them.
Well, it was Ronald Schlar.
Yeah. Ronald, that's right, Ronald. So Andrew's sending out an email to the list.
And the other guy was, Pradeep Krishnan.
Yeah, now I'm remembering their name. So I can take a look at, I can just follow up with the Topaz thing and just look and see what's on there, what was on either their track or actually in their code repository, and possibly send off an email if I can't find any useful information from that.
Yeah, and I mean, if someone has, you know, done something that directly, like we can just pull over, that's great. But otherwise, I mean, I think the work that needs to be done is actually pretty straightforward. It's just a matter of the time to type it.
Right.
All right, seems like we have a pretty good plan for moving forward with that. All right, so all that's left here is the reviewing the recently submitted issues. All right, so just looking at the items in July, there's one by Matt Zumwalt. Let's see. So he's noting that the bundled Derby database fails after some period of usage.
Yeah, I was taking a look at that earlier. I put a note at the bottom of that tracker item, actually. It seems that the embedded, yeah, there's the embedded Derby and there's the network Derby. And the embedded Derby, we noticed some locking issues basically that showed up while implementing it, and those issues don't reveal themselves in the networked version of Derby, and I was poking around at Derby's JIRA, and actually there are a few different issues that look very similar to the one that Matt describes. And so I think the short of it is there, you know, with the like the embedded driver implementation that Derby has, there's some quirkiness there, and it seems that they're tracking it. And so on the one side, yeah, I mean, it seems like when Derby comes up with a solution, then we'll just inherit it. And on the other side, the embedded Derby clearly is, you know, just to kick the tires on standing up a fedora and seeing, you know, like kind of what it can do. As opposed to, you know, like being used in any sort of production type scenario.
Yeah, it seems like that awareness of you know, don't use Derby beyond, you know, kicking the tires is similar to our thoughts on don't use McCoy beyond kicking the tires. I feel like that's pretty well known, at least for existing Fedora users. And it's pretty clear in the documentation, I think.
It does look, there was, in looking at the track record, there's one that seems like it maps pretty closely to this one, and it's planned for, it says it's resolved, but in looking at the notes in there, Jira, it kind of bounces back and forth a couple times and keeps getting reopened, and the person who's implementing the fix, you know, like even from the beginning, doesn't seem to be able to reproduce it. So, you know, like whatever fix is there is supposed to go into the next release of Derby.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so clearly it'd be interesting to see if that next release addresses the problem that Matt's seeing.
Right. So I'm just scanning the ticket they've got, and yeah, so it's not distinguishing that it's anything to do with the embedded driver, right? This is actually within the maybe it is embedded. No. Yeah, I don't see anything that this specifically calls out the problem being something with the embedded usage, right?
It looks like in the stack, you're looking at 4273?
Yeah. Maybe I'm missing that. I'm really just quickly scanning it.
In the stack trace, it looks like there's several embedded classes.
Oh, the embedded result sets.
And the embedded connection. But yeah.
Also, then maybe it. I'm surprised that something like this is so new, given that Derby's been basically integrated in Java 6 for so long. Anyway. I mean, it would be nice that, I mean, even though we don't recommend Derby for production use, it'd be nice basically that, you know, we didn't have more problems with Derby than we did with McCoy, right? Anyway, I guess at this point, yeah, it's just something we document and we see if it gets fixed upstream.
Yeah, so it seems like I'll go ahead and open this issue and just put a note saying that this seems to be something that's, or Andrew's already put the note that seems that this is something being tracked by Derby, and just have to get back to this when the 10.5.2.0 release is out. So to see if the issue is resolved. Item is Etsy Repo 515, which is one that I put in. And this is just in response to getting several emails on the list with regard to it being somewhat unclear that when using the web admin, the with API A off that you only get a prompt for authentication when you hit an APIM method. But what's a little bit odd is that getting the profile for a data stream, which is the APIM.getDataStream method, when that's called, which is sort of in the middle of your standard sort of just looking around at an object kind of flow. That's when you get prompted for authorization, even though there's no real need to prompt for that when looking at the object or even when downloading the data streams directly. Kind of feels to me like the get data stream method in APIM or what's called get data stream profile in the REST API it really acts more like and belongs more so in APIA. But maybe making that change in the WSDL and the SOAP API isn't really necessary because we haven't had any problems on that side. But just allowing that method on the REST API side to act like an APIA method with regard to authentication would resolve this issue. Any thoughts on that?
Well, why is it that it doesn't show up through the sub calls or through the existing client?
Well, through the you mean through the Fedora administrator client.
Yeah.
Because on that client, it requires you to authenticate up front. So, regardless of what you're doing, you have to authenticate.
Okay.
But the bit of a change on the web admin is it doesn't require auth until it's necessary. So, the intention is to allow. If people want to allow browsing of the repository through that web admin or through the REST API just in general, then they can turn off APIA authentication and allow that browsing to happen anonymously. But this is sort of in the middle of that flow, and it's kind of a bit of a hang-up in allowing that to happen.
Well, I mean, I think it's, as you note in the issue you opened at the end, I mean, to me it seems like it's just more of an issue of how we class the method as whether or not it should really be APIA as opposed to APIM. I mean, right, like this, it sort of follows from where it fits. I don't think we'd make some kind of exception, as far as the authentication. allocation goes for this, right? I mean, that's not part of the proposal, I think. So, as far as moving things around, on the one hand, it seems perfectly straightforward and reasonable to do so. On the other, it's just I don't know. It's just I guess I'm worried of changing the way things people expect it to work in a what will ultimately I assume be a part of a point release unless we hold off on this into something else.
Yeah, I mean I don't see any. I noted this priority as the lowest one just because it's not really a big issue. So yeah, it would just get released in whatever the next major release was. But yeah, I mean, I was concerned also about as far as changing it, changing that method to be in APIA directly. I'm not sure if this use case is strong enough to warrant having to change the WSDL and then thus everyone having to regenerate their their clients and make changes to their code on the SOAP side. I think on the REST side, the only difference is when authentication is required, because there's not really a distinction between the APIA and APIM on the REST side. But you're right in that it seems maybe a bit odd to the expectation might be misleading if in one place in the SOAP API and in a slightly different place in the REST API.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd actually be. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm all for opening the issue and then. Well, I don't know. I mean, so yeah, this just this expediency versus consistency. I'm not quite sure, and which way to weigh in on that, but I guess if I'd open the issue, I'd open the issue and put it in those terms. That it's a decision to be made about consistency versus expediency, and if that means then we need to just decide sort of. And we don't have to use this as an issue to sort of open up the floor for all examining all the methods to have a sort of philosophical question to resolve about what belongs where. But I mean, just in this case. We could basically figure out, should we move this over and consider it an APIA method? And then if that's the case, everything else sort of follows.
Mm-hmm, right.
I think you could, quickly make this into a much bigger issue if you sort of open the floor and, have a discussion about what are these methods, what are the other APIM methods, maybe, be an APIM method, that's not a management method, it's really just an access method, and then you'll end up kind of having another long discussion. But so I mean, that's what I'm saying, I feel comfortable just constraining it to, just this method and figuring out where it goes. Because there is some, I think I'd be hard-pressed to recollect it right now, but I mean, there was some rationale for why some of these things, which really seem like access methods, in the sense that there's no change to the server, were considered management methods. So,
right. Yeah, that's why I was actually wanting to. I'd like to hear from Chris on this when he gets back, to see if he can recall what the. What the rationale was for putting methods, you know, specifically this method, into APIM. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll leave it as received for now. I'm not really inclined to open it until we have a better feeling for if we actually want to be worked, or if we want to just sort of pass on it. You know, it feels like we need at least a decision about where, you know, which direction we want to go before opening it for work.
Well, that's what I was saying as far as opening it, was just opening it as far as coming to a decision on that. And you can open it, and then that's basically the decision to be made. I mean, if the decision is that it really just is an APIM method, then, you know, this issue gets closed and there's no code issues and there's no code to be changed. If it ends up, you know, we want to reclass it as an APIM method, then we do so and the code changes are actually, I think, relatively minor in that case. But nevertheless, it's more of a it's less a code decision as much as a, you know, where does this fit, sort of what's the rationale for where it fits.
Right. Yeah, I'm definitely less concerned about the code change on our side as I am about the code change
exactly
on the client side. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, I mean, it's just, people will have a certain I don't know who would rely on this being a management method that, you know, impacts their security, but there is, you know, thus far the expectation that since this isn't at the moment considered an access method, that, you know, when you don't require API auth, then, you know, when you do require when you don't require APIA auth, but, you know, if this got moved to APIM, you know, you wouldn't need to be authenticated. So,
right.
I think I may have said that backwards, but I think you know what I mean. So,
yeah. Can you move it to APIA? Yeah. So maybe we'll have this discussion with Chris when he gets back, just to see what his thoughts are. All right, so that's the end of the new items. Was there anything else anyone wanted to bring up? Were you going to say something, Dan?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I clicked myself on to mute. I'm going to be rolling through and updating some of the Atlassian products. The first one is Confluence 3.0. I'm going to try to get that done this weekend when people are not likely to be around. But we're practically 24/7 now with people using it, so I need about an hour's downtime. It's testable if people want to see the older version on Confluence 3.0 instead of Confluence. You can go in there and check, but Chris has been testing and is pretty satisfied. It's ready to go. But there are also new versions of all of the other products except for Jira, which is expected in probably about another month. So none of those other products for this weekend, but I'll pop back up when I'm ready to go ahead and get those updates rolled out. Second thing is, if anybody's curious, I had to stop the long-running tests, but we were up to 140 million objects, and it was still ingesting at a flat rate. I was running it at 40 objects a second ingest, and probably could have run it about 70, and it would have been stable. But I thought everybody'd like to know that it looked like the 3.0 changes really, really worked.
So wait, how long was the test running when you were at 140 million?
I had been running it for about 2 weeks, off and on.
Off and
mostly
on.
Mostly on.
Well, those are some nice numbers. I was just getting a query about that from someone last week. So.
Now, needless to say that the triple store is not is probably the limiting factor on practical implementation. But this was against MySQL.
This was with no resource index, not.
This was with the resource index off, yes.
Okay.
I'll run it again with the resource index on, but I know that that will run out of gas. I wanted to find out how far Fedora would go by itself.
Okay.
But there's no point of going any farther. However, it did point out a couple of things. I did talk to Bill about this, and I'll get the entries into Jira, that search, if you do a search for an indexed item like a PID, the performance is just fine. It doesn't slow down very much at scale. But if you attempt to do some sort of search that is going to return you a very large result set. The current code tries to suck in the entire result set, even though it's only delivering you 20, 50, or 100 items at a time. And so you'll immediately blow your memory.
Right. This is the field search. Right. So.
Yeah. The system recovers, but most of the time. That search will probably need to be refactored if we want to support operations at scale. It'll still be, even with that, very slow if you attempt to do a search that is not very well constrained, like a, similar to a text search.
Yeah, I guess my comment there was that field search wasn't really intended for heavy-duty use. But certainly people use it that way.
Well, yeah, I mean, because people write their client apps assuming, I mean, because, you know, that's the only search you can count on, right, is field search. So, I mean, you do your testing on your, you know, whatever, 50,000 object repository, and then all of a sudden you're, yeah, whatever query that's being done is maybe part of object construction, complex object construction is going to start to fail because of the queries you may be running. So it is worth noting. And paging the results, that's probably not a bad idea for us to be doing in field search anyway.
Mm-hmm. The last item is that the Islandora stack is proceeding. There's Sun's got a jumpstart kit built, and it's in testing. They're stepping forward to having a fully supported by a contractor installation of Drupal with Islandora on top of Fedora, probably in the next couple of months.
And that's something that they will release as something people can purchase?
Service, it's a service model. Mm-hmm. It'll be free to everybody. But they will take purchase orders. Actually, a channel partner will take a purchase order that includes the Sun hardware pre-configured, the software pre-installed. And then, so obviously you got to pay for the hardware.
But are they also doing software as a service? Like, I mean, are they selling, or is it just selling the hardware software stack?
No, at this point, they're not offering software as a service. But they're providing service to people who want, system, including the hardware, is installed, they'll provide 24/7 support calls. But this is the first time out. Anybody, of course, can still get the software installed themselves.
Great.
So that's it.
So anybody else? Anything to bring up?
Quick, we can make it in an hour.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, thanks everyone for joining, and I will put the chat notes and the recording up on the wiki shortly.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye all.
Thanks.
Bye all.